Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord today. I am so excited. Like, I know it's Palm Sunday, and we get to celebrate the triumphal entry of Jesus coming in. We know that, like, what all Jesus had to go through in this week here, that we get to celebrate as we go through and draw closer to Resurrection Sunday. Like I am really excited about all those things. But I am so stoked to see multiplication happening and see your prayers being answered in the way that this is going on. And so I just praise God for all of that. This is time we want to go ahead and dismiss our kids for Power Church. So those kids, kindergarten through fifth grade, feel free to head over there with Pastor Sarah, and she will get you where you need to be. God has been so good. And I am really, really excited to see how he is at work and all that's going on here. Today we get to continue on. Actually, we're going to bring to a conclusion this series that we've been going through called Money Talks. And what is it that your money is saying about you and your faith and your priorities? And today we're going to talk about what your money is saying about our thankfulness, right? How do we use our money to show our thankfulness? If we don't have any money, are we still thankful to God as a provider, right? Are we allowing what I would refer to as first world problems to steal our joy and our thanksgiving from God, right? Like, I remember one time there was a guy that was complaining about the fact that while he was on a flight, he's 30,000 feet in the air, and he's complaining about the fact that the Wi-Fi is not very good, right? Like, you see how that's what I would mean as a first world problem, right? Like, third world countries, extreme poverty, you're just thankful to have food, right? Yet we find ourselves dealing with some first world problems, like one that we had to deal with in my house not too long ago was that the microphone on the headphones that were being used weren't working well enough to be able to talk with the person that they were playing an online game with in another city. Right? Okay. The point is that in all of this, we have an opportunity, and you're going to hear me say this a lot, in pretty much every opportunity of our lives, we have the opportunity either to complain or to be thankful. And many times, it is the amount of money that we have in our bank account or in our wallet or on our person or that we just have access to in one way or another that tends to determine whether we end up being complainers or thankful. And so what I want to do today is kind of go through and talk about, like, okay, well, you know, if the Lord has blessed us with some money, then how can we use that to show our thankfulness to God? But on the other side of that, like, if we're lacking a little bit in the money department, like how do we work through that as well, right? How can we really be thankful for God and not just thankful for the money he's provided or the comfort that we have or the fact that we have more today than we did yesterday, right? How can we really and truly be thankful to God and not just for the stuff that we think God has given us? So as we get into that, let's pray first. God, thank you so much for your presence here among us. We recognize your presence here. We thank you, Father, for the work of your Holy Spirit that's already going. God, I ask that the words of my mouth would be yours and yours alone. That you would speak in this time, God, that your message would be proclaimed, that your good news would be heard and received and pursued. God, I pray that you would help all of us to respond by faith to you, however it is that you might challenge us or lead us or encourage us today. Help us to say yes to you, for it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to begin in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, and so if you want have your Bibles with you and you want to go ahead and turn there, feel free to do that. Let me kind of set up the verses that we're eventually going to get to. We're going to start reading in verse 10, but the first part of 1 Chronicles chapter 29, David is basically kind of commissioning his son Solomon and the Israelites to build the temple, right? And so he's sort of rallying the troops to get all of the materials that are necessary to build the temple. And so he starts off by saying, you know, basically all the gold, all the stuff that I have, this is King David talking now, all this stuff, like we're giving all of that to the temple. We're going to put it on the walls. We'll put it on, like everything you're going to make, like use the gold that we have in the treasuries. But then he goes a step further and says, not only are we going to use the gold that's in the treasuries for Israel, but my personal treasury, I'm going to hand that over as well. And y'all are going to use that for everything that you need in the temple. And then he goes on to encourage the leaders of the Israelites there and tells them to give and to do the same as well. And so what happens is there's like this abundance of resources, and not just like hand-me-down stuff, right? Like, this is like goods. This is stuff that you would want, right? Like, this is stuff that you would go and buy, or something that you would trade for, or barter for, whatever. Like this is the goods. This is King David stuff, right? And so they have all this tremendous abundance that is provided in order to outfit the temple that Solomon will eventually build. And then we come to verse 10, and David has a prayer that he prays in response to the abundance that is given here. And it says, David praised the Lord in the presence of the whole assembly, saying, "Praise be to you, Lord, praise be to you, Lord, the God of our father Israel, from everlasting to everlasting. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor, for everything in heaven and earth is yours. Yours, Lord, is the kingdom. You are exalted as head over all. Wealth and honor come from you. You are the ruler of all things. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. Now, O God, we give you thanks and praise your glorious name." I just want you to recognize here real quick that David, in all of his wealth, was genuinely thankful for all that the Lord had done and who God was. And I think that's important that we recognize that. Like, David didn't get so big as a leader that he thought he was something in and of himself. Like, he recognized that the only reason he had anything was because God let him have that in his treasury. And he recognized, even in that, none of that belonged to him. None of it. He not only saw that God was a father who provides, but he recognized that God was a God who was, right? He talked about the splendor and the majesty and the power, and not all those things are things that God did for David, but a lot of those things were just who God is. See, when we find ourselves at a point of plenty and we have some resources left over, like we got a little savings account worked up and all that kind of stuff, when we find ourselves with plenty, we cannot lose sight of the fact that none of it is ours. We cannot lose sight of the fact that just because we have a short-term means to be able to cover a few bills, that doesn't mean that God is any less the provider that we trusted him for when we didn't have anything in our bank account, right? We need to understand that God is who he is, no matter what we have or don't have. Amen? David recognized those things. Let me continue on here, verse 14. It says, But who am I? This is David speaking now, right? Still in this prayer to God. "But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you, and we have given you only what comes from your hand. We are foreigners and strangers in your sight, as were all of our ancestors. Our days on earth are like a shadow without hope. Lord our God, all this abundance that we have provided for building you a temple for your holy name comes from your hand, and it all belongs to you." Church, I just want, I want to make sure that we understand this. And I think that we do in theory. We just need to make sure that we understand this in practice as well. And that is that nothing actually belongs to us. Everything belongs to God. And it actually changes how we look at giving when we have that perspective, right? Because if we think that everything belongs to us, then when we're asked to give or when we feel compelled to give, then we feel as if that is a sacrifice from us to God. But the truth of the matter is that it's not actually coming from us. It was his already. He just let us hold on to it for a little while. It's like you showing up at a hotel room and then somebody getting mad at you because they changed the locks the next day. That's not your hotel room. Like, you just showed up for the night and they let you use the pillows and the towels, and hopefully you don't take all that stuff with you. Please don't take that stuff with you. I mean, the shampoo and stuff, I get, they're throwing that away anyway, but anyway, you see what I'm saying? Like, the point is, that doesn't belong to you. You just get to use it until they need to use it somewhere else, right, or for someone else. Nothing that we have belongs to us. It all belongs to God, and when he has need of it and he asks for it, we ought not feel like we are losing something. In fact, we ought to be blessed, to be thankful. Hello, somebody. We ought to be thankful for the opportunity that we have to be able to use God's resources God's way. Like, how awesome is that? That we don't have to wonder, like, oh, well, I mean, God gave me all this money. I sure hope I don't blow it the wrong way. Like, what? Wouldn't it be incredible to know that when God asks for you to give in a certain way, that you can know, like this is God's will, and I can use it for his glory, and it doesn't have to be about me. I'm not losing money because I commit some resources that God has given me back to his kingdom, but rather I get to be thankful for the fact that he's allowed me to be a part of what he's doing in his kingdom, right? I better keep on moving here. I got a few other things to say. Verse 17. I know, my God, that you test the heart and are pleased with integrity. All these things I have given willingly and with honest intent, and now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here have given to you. Lord, the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, keep these desires and thoughts in the hearts of your people forever. And keep their hearts loyal to you. And give my son Solomon the wholehearted devotion to keep your commands, statutes, and decrees, and to do everything to build the palatial structure for which I have provided. I think it's so incredible here to see how David's prayer was that the hearts of the people would continue to be focused on a thankful devotion to God, right? And I wonder if part of that isn't because David knew the temptation of self-reliance, right? I mean, I gotta imagine, like, if you've got, like, storage areas full of gold that eventually you can just, you know, use on a temple or whatever like that. Like, if you amass the kind of wealth and success that he had, I would imagine there's probably a couple of days where David was probably tempted to think that he'd just done all this stuff on his own, right? And here he comes near the end of his life. And his prayer for his people and for his son is, God, don't let their hearts turn because of all the money they're seeing in front of them. God, don't let them think that they don't need you just because they have all this gold for the temple. God, don't let their hearts get hard just because you provided in such abundance. Don't let them think it's all on their own. But Lord, help them to stay thankfully devoted to you. Right? One of the curses, if you will, of being those who may be people of means is that for those that have much, much is expected, right? And many times, you know, for someone who doesn't have much, it's real. Sometimes when you don't have as much, it can be easier to be thankful Because when you see something to be thankful for, it's like, ooh, I better, oh yeah, thank you, Lord, for that. Lord, pay that bill. Lord, I don't know how you did it, right? Because I was doing the math on that bank account, and I'm not really sure how that happened, Lord, but praise God that you get, right? Like even when a bill gets paid, like if you're not sure how it's going to happen, like you are super, when there is food on the table, and you didn't know if there was going to be food on the table, like you're super thankful for that. Like if you don't have much. But when if you are a person of means, like sometimes, like that bill gets paid automatically. You don't even know it's coming out of your account, right? You're ordering groceries that show up at your doorstep. You ain't even got to walk out the door for them, right? And they just come in. You just put them in the fridge like that's just how it's supposed to be, right? And sometimes, and I just use that as an example there, but sometimes it can be easy to think that these are just routine things. And I'm not trying to preach my sermon again from 2 weeks ago again. By the way, didn't Pastor David do a great job last week? Amen. Praise God. I was thankful to be able to watch that as well. But you know, sometimes we can kind of take those things for granted, but we need to recognize that for people of means, what that means is we need to be even more thankful than people who don't have all that. Like, we need to stop and actually recognize, stop, smell the roses, if you will, right? And if you're blessed enough to have some roses in your yard, you better thank God for them every time you pass them, right? But if you pass those roses each and every day, eventually you're just like, roses, whatever. No, do you see the problem in that? Like eventually you get to the point where it's like you miss the blessing that God has provided for you. And so if God has provided the blessing for you, if he's given that abundance to you, well, then you have a responsibility even higher than those that may not have in order to say thank you, God. And if you don't have time to say thank you, I would be real careful. I'd really watch there. Because you might just think that those roses are just supposed to be there. Those roses belong to you. Those roses are just part of your life. Well, the truth of the matter is those roses don't belong to you. Those are God's roses. And he can take those roses whenever he wants to. And if he does, that doesn't make him bad. And it doesn't make you bad. It just means that he needed those roses somewhere else. And I'll tell you right now, as soon as those roses are gone, you're going to miss them. So why not just be thankful for him? See, for King David here, he knew that the people he was leaving behind were going to have some things from the very beginning of their ministry, if you will, that he didn't have at the beginning of his. And so for him, he's like, oh, I know where I was and I know where I got to and I thank God for all of that. But they're starting here. They're starting at this level with all the gold in the temple and all that kind of stuff. Lord, protect their heart. If King David was praying that for his people, I think it's probably pretty important that we pray that for ourselves as well. Protect our hearts, God, that even if you do bless us with resources and money, Lord, that we would still be smart enough and aware enough to be thankful for the fact that it doesn't belong to us, right? If God's going to bless us with some resources, then we ought to make sure that our money's telling other people that we're thankful to God who owns all of that. And we want to make sure that our money's not telling other people that we're just making it on our own. We want to make sure that our money's saying that God is the one who owns it all. He is the one who is in control. So if we have money, that's great. And we should be thankful for it. We should find ways that we can generously use it in ways that will honor and bless God. But what do we do if that money ain't flowing quite like that? If the vats aren't full, and if we ain't got no gold to give, but we just got a little bit of copper here and there, right? Like, what do we do then? Just this past Wednesday, we were meeting for the gathering, and just so you guys know, if you've not been here for the gathering on Wednesday night, I really encourage you to come. We have some incredible discussion where we just talk about real life. Like, literally, the first question is, so, like, what happened in your life this week? And as we share with one another, we begin to talk about how God's word can speak into what we've been going through over this last week and how we can encourage one another. And it's just been really, really awesome. And so if you have an opportunity to be out on Wednesday nights, it's a great time. This past Wednesday, the scripture out of James chapter 1 had come up that I'm going to read for you here in a minute, talking about, like, how are we supposed to respond, like, in the midst of trials, right? And so let me just jump into this here. So James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Let me get there real quick. So it says, this is James talking now. He says, consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kind. Praise the Lord, right? Amen. Amen. I'm surprised I didn't get more amens than that. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Right? So even in our trials, even in our lack, even in the times where we don't have what we think we might want, or even in the times when we don't have what we want to have, right? We still have reason for joy and thankfulness. Yeah. Amen, Pastor. All right. I'm sure everybody online typed amen at the same time there, right? I need y'all to get this now, because this is really important, because depending on how we respond to this will determine what it is that our money is saying about us and our thankfulness. That this is why it's really important here. So what we're trying to say is that even when we find ourselves in trials, even when we find ourselves in lack, even when we find ourselves in a position where we may not necessarily want to be, we still have reason to have joy and to be thankful. And it's because no matter what situation we might find ourselves in, whether that is abundance or in lack, God is still God, and God is still able, and God can still teach us, and God can help us learn what perseverance is like. He can help us learn how to endure. He can build up our faith, whether we have a lot or whether we have a little. And if we get discouraged when we have a little, then we lose the sight of the fact that God is able to do anything. Right? Like, I know it sort of sounds, well, it's not, doesn't sound bad to say, but like, I know, like we go through hard times, and I'm not trying to belittle the struggles that we have. So the trials are trials, and they're hard, and I get that. Like, they really are. I get that. I really do. But we need to understand, like, those trials don't change who God is. They don't change His faithfulness. Right? Just because you're going through something now doesn't mean somebody else wasn't going through something before. Has God never been faithful? Like, I think we just need to recognize it. Just because we're going through something right now doesn't mean that God isn't God. Let me keep going here. Verse 5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all that they do. I understand that as you're sitting here today and as you're worshiping today, you may not... Like, you may find yourself in a place of lack and think, you know what, Pastor, it's just real hard to be thankful right now. It's hard to see how God is providing for me when every time I turn around, it seems like I'm missing something. And what James is telling his audience here is, that, okay, if you don't see it right now, that's okay. Pray for wisdom. Pray for wisdom. Pray for faith. Pray for the ability to see who God is and what God is doing, even in your lack. It's okay if you don't see it right now. Like, here's what I want you to understand. I'm not condemning you for not seeing it. That's what I mean. Like, I get the trials are hard. Like, hard times are hard times. Like, they are. I get that. I'm not belittling that. I'm not devaluing that. I'm not saying that you're a bad Christian because you're having a hard time. I'm not saying any of that. All I'm saying is that if you don't see the reason to be thankful in the midst of your trial, pray and ask God to see it. Right? Just put your faith in Him to show you something that you can't see right now. Right? And what I believe and what the Bible says here, what God is speaking through James here is that if you pray that in a way that you truly have faith that God can provide that wisdom to you, He will do it. And you'll see things you've never seen before. You'll be thankful in ways you've never even thought of before. You will understand the character and nature of God in ways that you have never received before. But it's okay just to say, you know what, God? I don't see it right now, but I kind of like to. God, I want to be thankful, but I don't know what to be thankful for right now. Just pray and ask for the wisdom to see what there is to be thankful for. God will show you if you have the faith to truly believe that you want the answer to that prayer. Now, I'll tell you this as well. If you come to God in prayer all spiteful and everything, like, Lord, I can't even believe you ain't provided for me yet. Like, you ain't done this and you ain't done that, and my Wi-Fi ain't working and my remote control ain't, you know, all this kind of stuff, right? If you're going to come at him complaining and then say, Lord, why don't you just provide for me anyway? Huh? Right? Like, that's not exactly a position of faith. You see what I'm saying? Like, you can't come at him like you're the owner and he's the maid. Right? You can't be like, oh, God, you're doing such a terrible job being God. Why don't you pick things up a little bit? Right? I'm going to have to find somebody else to take your spot here. In some ways, we can kind of come at him like that. Don't go up to God like that. He's not trying to hear any of that. No, what he wants to hear is your faith. He wants to hear that even if you don't see it, you're still going to him to trust him for it. Lord, I don't know what's around the corner. And Lord, I hate to think that maybe it's another downhill spiral. I don't even know, Lord. But whatever it is, my faith is in you. And if what you have for me is another trial, then I'm going to take that trial and I'm going to ride it all the way with you, Lord. And if what you have for me is more waiting, then Lord, I'm going to wait with you. And if what you have for me is less in my bank account, then Lord, I'm just going to trust you with whatever ain't there. Right? Like, it's a step of faith. It wouldn't be faith if you could see it. Right? Ooh, I better keep on here. Where did I leave off here? 9, verse 9. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises and with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Verse 12 here. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. That's what it's all about right there. It's who genuinely loves God, no matter how much money you have, right? And I find it interesting when David was talking, like he said that wealth came from God, right? He understood that he didn't see that the gold that he had in his treasuries as like some sort of curse of Satan. He recognized that as a blessing from God, right? The whole point is, like, whether you are rich or whether you are poor, like who is it that you're giving thanks to, right? There was an article that I saw on BibleRef.com that said, when we as believers are consumed with sorrow and regret and envy and despair because of our limited resources, we show that we are not convinced in the reality of our God and our place with him in eternity, right? We need to understand that even if we lack now, we do not lack eternally. Our God is, just because it's not in our account doesn't mean it's not in God's account, right? And when we begin to be discouraged by the fact that we don't have what we want, then we may be losing sight of the fact that we may be losing the faith that we have in God to be able to do the impossible in our lives. When all we can see is what we don't have, we'll begin blaming God for not being good. We'll forget God when we find ourselves prospering, right? How do I know this? Just read the Old Testament. Yeah. Every time the Israelites got something, they're like, oh, thank you, Lord. And then a couple years later, they're like, oh, Lord, whatever, right? And then what would happen is somebody would come and take them over, right? I mean, just go through the book of Judges, right? Somebody comes, takes them over. Oh, Lord, we need your help. Raise up a deliverer. God makes a way. Oh, Lord, thank you. Couple of years later, God, whatever, right? And then they just keep doing this over and over again. When we can keep our faith in God, whether we have much or little, then we will not be overcome by the sorrow and regret and envy and despair that seeks to destroy us through the work of the enemy, right? When we're able to maintain that faith, then we're able to overcome the tools of the enemy that are endeavoring to destroy us. When we think that our value in existence is totally based in the things that we have, then when we don't have those things, we're going to fall away. But when we recognize that God is our provider, even when we don't have those things, then we still are okay with ourselves. We still can still have confidence in God, even when we don't have all the stuff we want. See, thankfulness is not what we do when God makes a way in our life. Thankfulness is not what we do when God makes our lives easy. Thankfulness is the response to the grace of God in our lives. And it's that grace that helps keep our hearts right even when life isn't easy. So, like, here's the crazy thing in all this, right? Now watch this. So David was concerned for his people because they had so much. He was like, Lord, protect their hearts. Yet on the other side, it can also be that if we don't have enough, like, our hearts can be hardened because, Lord, why are you not providing for us? And so it's like there's this middle ground where if we're not exactly right here, then, like, spiritually, our money can be saying that we are spiritually broken because if we have too much, then our hearts get hardened. And if we don't have enough, then our hearts get hardened. But if we just find ourselves in this very narrow sweet spot, well, then I'm okay. Well, don't you think that whether you have a lot or a little or anywhere in between, that God ought to be able to work in your life? Like, don't you think that you ought to be able to walk in the fruit of God's Holy Spirit, whether you got a million in your account or just a couple of pennies in your account? Like, I'd like to think that God is able no matter where I am on this scale, and it shouldn't be dependent upon me just having two pennies more than I had yesterday. I want to go ahead and invite the worship team up because I'm about to lose my breath. In every moment, we have the opportunity to either choose to complain or to choose to be thankful. We can choose to be thankful for the grace and the love of God, or we can complain about the lust of the flesh that is not being satisfied. Your money will tell you that if you don't have more than you did yesterday, that you should complain about that. Your money can also tell people that even when you don't have it, God is still worthy of praise. The question is, what is your money saying about your thankfulness? What is your money saying about, even as Pastor David spoke to last week, what is your money saying about your faith in him? Whether you have an abundance or you're in lack or anywhere in between, what is it that your money is saying about your faith in God? How is your thankfulness being reflected to God wherever you are on that spectrum? In Job chapter 1, verse 21, you know, the trials that Job went through, right? And this is just after the first attack of the enemy on his life. But his response was, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. Church, I just want to encourage you today, like, God is worthy of our praise no matter what we have or what we don't have. And the truth of the matter is that the temptation for a hardened heart is there, whether we're on one side of the spectrum or the other. This is not just somebody else's problem. It's not, like, if you don't have much, you can't look at rich people and be like, oh, well, you know, that they probably don't even see how the Lord is blessing them, right? And if you are a person of means, you can't look at people who are poor and be like, oh, well, I'm sure, you know, there's probably a reason why God hasn't provided for them, right? No. What you got to recognize is that no matter where you are on the spectrum, like, you have reason to be thankful, and you also have reason to be cautious. Because your heart can be hardened too. Let me just say, actually, whether we have anything or everything, the grace of God is enough to be thankful for. There's no way that we could ever save ourselves. There's no way that we could ever provide for ourselves. There's no way that we could ever be enough for us to satisfy the penalty of our sin against God. But Jesus Christ came, and he walked that road on that Palm Sunday, and he walked to his eventual death so that we might be able to be set free and forgiven from our sin, that we might be able to live lives beyond sin, that we wouldn't have to go back to old ways anymore, that we wouldn't have to have our lives dictated by the amount of money in our bank accounts, but that we could have our lives dictated by the purpose and value that God has put inside of us. Jesus died on the cross in order that we might be able to live in that way, in that freedom, right? This morning, as you're watching or you're here in worship, if you've never experienced that grace, if you're thinking like, I don't know how I would live a life of contentment not knowing like financially like what's going on next or whatever like that, and my faith is definitely connected to my bank account, like maybe you've never experienced the freedom of a relationship with Jesus. And that's the case, I just want you to know, I would love to invite you into that relationship today, because it will change your life forever. And you'll get to a point where you recognize that life is not about you. Life is about God and his kingdom and how we can follow him into the best life that we could ever have. You can know forgiveness today. It's as simple as accepting the fact that you're a sinner, that we're all sinners, that we need a Savior. It's a matter of believing, even as we've been talking about today, that Jesus is the only Savior in this world, that there's no other way to God. There's no other way to forgiveness. There's no other way to eternity with God outside of a relationship with Jesus. And then it's a matter of just simply confessing, Lord, you are my Savior, and I need your forgiveness, and I will walk with you. That doesn't mean you're going to be perfect from this point on, but it means that you are setting your eyes on Jesus, that you're going to choose to walk with him. You're going to trust him with your life, no matter how much money might be in your account. If that's something you'd like to pray about today, I'd love for you just to come. We can talk through that, and I'd love to pray with you about it. And you can actually pray that prayer yourself. Lord, hear my cry. Help me to walk with you. Forgive me, Father, that I might be your child forever. Stand with me. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to worship together here with you. I thank you, Father, for everything you've given and for everything you haven't, because, Lord, you are in control. Take control of our hearts and our responses even right now for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.